Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of our On The Ground podcast. We made the second episode last week in the lovely Monte Carlo, as Joe Cordina went on to defend his IBF World Super Featherweight Championship in that main event last Saturday. This week, though, we are here in Newcastle. We're actually in a small event space at Northumbria University, and the weather is not quite the same as it was last week in Monaco. But the spirit is very much the same, as is the charisma, and as is the talent. Joining me now, our first guest on the podcast, as we go a little bit rogue, and as I always say, channeling my inner Martin Brundle, is Cameron Vong. Cam, good to see you. Professional fight number two and a local one. How does it feel to be back?
Yeah, unbelievable, mate. To be honest, I didn't know what was going on when I was looking for where the camera was there. But now I'm happy to be here. Can't wait. I'm looking forward to shining on Saturday night and showing everyone why I'm calling me an event and I'm looking to steal the show.
In terms of the attitude heading into this fight, how difficult is it for you? You're a young man. You got the looks. You got the talent. You got a great team around you. You've got Eddie Hearn saying you're the next big superstar. But when you're away from all of this, you're away from the cameras and you're just at home by yourself, what are you saying to yourself, what are your family saying to you, to just make sure you stay as Cameron Vong and don't get too carried away too early? How do you channel that?
Well, to be honest, it's a little bit surreal when I'm on my own in the house and stuff like that. I've got to pinch myself at times and think, is this real? Is this really happening? But no, I think I've worked hard for a very long time, putting blood, sweat and tears to get to this spot. So now I'm here, just try and soak it all up, embrace it all and enjoy the moment.
Since the debut, have you just been itching just to get back in the ring? Because you've been around a few fight weeks. You're in Liverpool, obviously, with Jack Catcher as well. But have you just been like, I can't wait to get back in there?
Itchy feet when I was watching Jack. I was getting in front of every camera I could possibly find at Jack's fight week, done the fight day 5K, and it's just about growing my name, getting my name out there, building a profile over this next 2 years and making myself into the biggest star I can be, because that's what it's about. Jamie, we're in the entertainment business and people want to be entertained. I don't want to be just another run-of-the-mill fighter that says all the things he's meant to say. I want to show my personality and I think I've got the personality to match the skills.
When you're pulling in, we talked about this yesterday at the media day actually, when you're pulling into the station, you see the arena, the Utilita Arena, known up here really as the Metro Radio Arena, where we've seen so many brilliant nights headlined by Lewis Ritson. You're the chief support this weekend, but when you do see the future, what do you see for Cameron Vong at that arena?
I see next time that we return to Newcastle, Cameron Vong headlining. I want my name up there in the bright light, and the whole show being about me. I look forward to headlining back here one day, and not just here, but places like Madison Square Garden, MGM Grand, places like that. That's my goal in boxing. I want to reach the very top of the sport. I want to be mentioned. When you mention the greatest British fighters, I want my name to be in that conversation.
I remember you said to me in your post-fight interview after the debut, you said, you actually put the question back on me, and you went, you know what they say about pressure and what it creates, and of course that is diamonds. You seem to love it, and you stood up there, you jumped up, you posed for your pictures in front of all the cameras, you're doing every interview, you give everything 100% that you do in front of camera as well as behind it. It seems like there isn't going to be a lot that phases you at this stage, Cam.
No, definitely not. Like I said, I enjoy this. This doesn't feel like work or pressure for me. I turn up, I enjoy the
process.
We're living
the life. We're living the dream, aren't we, really?
I love seeing everyone, all the matchroom lot. The matchroom staff's like becoming like my second family now. So, no, I enjoy it. I enjoy being here. I just try and soak it all up, really. And it's a little bit surreal at times. But I do believe I belong here and I deserve to be here. So I'm going to show that Saturday night and then hopefully get out one more time before the end of the year. I know it's tight and I know it's tough, but I'm pushing Frank and Eddie and saying, look, I want to be out one more time, God willing, everything goes well Saturday night.
And you told me as well that you want to be moved quickly. We know that. We talked about Akib Fiaz, and obviously we know Akib, we're good friends with him after his setback with Rhys Bellotti. And you've also talked about maybe having a mind for vengeance in the years to come with Rhys Bellotti. Is that true?
Target on his back. But no, I'm gutted for Akib. Obviously, he did get beat against Bellotti the last time, but I think he's going to come back stronger and a minor setback for a major comeback.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Rhys Bellotti, if you are listening, take this as an official call out from Cameron Vong. Cam, final prediction, what can we expect to see on Saturday from yourself?
Fireworks, excitement. I'm looking to perform, put on a massive performance Saturday night for my home crowd. I'm looking forward to it. Got a few tricks up my sleeve. The walkout's going to be unbelievable. Hopefully you sort it out, Jamie.
Well, actually, I've got a mix. I do a lot of jobs at Matchroom. I've got a mix, Cam's two ringwalk songs he wants together. That's a job for later on this evening. But thanks for reminding me
nice
anyway.
One, thank you, Jamie.
Top man Cameron Vong there. All professional fight number two coming up this Saturday on DAZN. We are now having a look around. And here's Darren Barker. Let's grab a word with him He's just saying goodbye to Jordan Banjo. We've just wrapped up today's press conference. Jordan, I'll see you very soon. Jordan on the diversity tour that continues tonight in Liverpool. So off he goes on his own roadshow. Darren, we're on our own roadshow. Firstly, congratulations on the new deal.
Thank you very much.
So you've basically said it's a lifetime agreement now. You're just at Matchroom for as long as you may go on.
Well, lifetime deal. What would that be for me? I'm 41 now. So what, 30 years?
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, but when I get to 71.
Hopefully 50 years.
I've lived a very colourful life, put it that way.
Could you be like the Bob Arum of Matchroom?
I'll take 71 now.
You're still up there at 90. Could you see yourself doing that?
90 years old. I'll bite your arm off.
But would you still be doing this, though, at 90?
I don't think I'd be able to string a sentence together. I struggle now, let alone when I was 90.
Darren, not quite Monte Carlo, but the action does continue on DAZN. Why are these next-gen shows important? When you take yourself back to when you were a young fighter chasing opportunities, things have changed now. Not to make you feel old, but things have changed now. And this is a brilliant platform for these young guns of tomorrow. Why is this a great platform for them?
I think you used the word there. I think opportunity. I think the opportunity for these young, talented fighters to really play a big part on a big card. Shahbaz Massoud is now main event. I mean, what a great buzz for him. You look at the guys on the other end of the card on Before the Bell, the two brothers, the Reese brothers, and Jimmy Sainz. It's just a great platform for them to showcase their skills. I mean, these are real talented fighters that sometimes get lost and eaten up on some other big cards. Well, this is a big card in itself because we're showcasing real talent. And talent that one day, in a year, 2 years, 3 years' time, these are going to be headlining on big cards with aspirations of defending and winning titles of their own, the major titles. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. That is the word again, an opportunity for these to like I say, go and make a name for themselves.
In terms of your picking of prospects, we were just talking to Cameron Vong there. What do you like about him and what you've seen so far?
Oh, I mean, ticks every single box. He's popular, very talented. Got a great team behind him, so like I say, all boxes are ticked, and I look forward to continuing to follow the journey of Cameron Vong.
We are back on the weigh-in stream tomorrow. You subbed me out for Jordan Banjo today. He's probably a bit better looking than me, a bit taller, a bit more handsome.
A bit harder than you as well.
Probably definitely harder than me. We're back on the weigh-in stream tomorrow from 1 p.m. of course. Yep. Button's back, or Mr. Monte Carlo is remaining in Newcastle. Have you got your outfit sorted?
I don't know what I'm wearing, to be honest. Like, how do you plan all of this? I just throw a load of clothes in my case and just hope for the best.
Well, I think because I've just started doing it, I'm panicking. I feel like I have to have everything in order, like ironed. I'm worried.
What would you like me to wear, Jamie?
I'll tell you after this interview.
Okay, mate.
Just in case. It's a family show.
Mankini's coming out.
Top man, Darren. Thanks for your time. Great to catch up with my old friend, Darren Barker, whom I was his T-boy before I started doing the interviews at Matchroom. Still his T-boy. Behind the scenes as well. And coming up next, Ishmael Davis. Ishmael, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. You've just wrapped up your press conference. Yeah. It's safe to say it went 0 to 100 very quickly. Did you enjoy that? And is that what you expected up there as well?
Yeah, man, I enjoyed it, man. That's what it's about, man. You know, we have to build the fight. We have to, you know, put our money on the line and put our money where our mouth is, you know what I mean? Because he's doing a lot of talking on social. So I'm ready to put on a good fight, man.
When you were coming onto this card, and I know Sonny Edwards has been a helping hand in you and getting this opportunity, but it's on you now. How much was it about coming here, making a name for yourself, not just in a build-up, but also in the ring, and leaving with your head held high on Sunday morning when you're heading home from Newcastle?
Listen, it means everything to me. It's a life-changing moment. This is the best day of my life because this is the best thing I've ever done. Do you know what I mean? I've done a lot in my life, and this is the best. So I'm ready to put on a show. I know that you guys are going to be happy after I put on a performance that I think I'm going to put on. Well, I know that I'm going to put on, and I know I'm capable of. So, yeah, man, I'm ready, man.
It sounded like we couldn't quite hear what you were saying up there. We'll have to watch you back on the stream. A bet was involved between yourself and Ewan McKenzie. I think Ewan's actually since commented on our Instagram saying he's going to put his own pet cat also in the terms of this bet. So you could be leaving here with a cat as well, with victory.
Yeah, he's a silly man. He's a silly man. Do you know what it is? Yeah, I seen on socials he's telling people to bet on a knockout and he wants 10%. So I just said, look, you're going to make him lose money. And I said, put your money where your mouth is, you get me? Like, we'll put our purses on it. We shook on it. So hopefully he's a man of his word and I'll be taking his money Saturday night.
And with victory, you move a step closer to fighting for that English title as well. How much does that motivate you? Because you must look at that as a first step in a great direction for you.
Yeah, well, it means everything. Like, I want to get this win, and obviously I seen that Lee Cutler and Kingsley, I don't know his last name. They're fighting for it. I want the winner out of that.
Well, that one's in Bournemouth at the end of the year. So, Mike, you be heading down there, little scouting mission. God willing, you get the victory on Saturday.
Yep. Scouting, definitely, man. I'll be going to see where the weak points are, where I can score and where I can get the stoppage, because that's what I'm here for.
Great stuff. Ishmael, thanks for your time. Maybe he'll be heading down to Bournemouth with his new pet cat as well. That remains to be seen whether that bet comes to fruition. Young Jimmy Sainz. Jimmy, this is the Matchroom on the Ground podcast. We're floating around and grabbing a little word with all those associated with the action. Great to see you back, Jim. Your stable mate, Joe Cordina, in a good win last week in Monte Carlo. Were you watching and enjoying his performance from home?
Yeah, definitely. It's good to be back. I was watching in Monte Carlo. I was watching from the sofa. I would have liked to have been there in the casino. It did look good. I think it was a close fight. I feel like Joe could have stuck to the boxing a bit more. But, I mean, he got the win, which is the main thing moving forward. I had it by two or three rounds. Joe had won the fight. But, listen, he's world champion still, and he's going to be going better things now.
When you look at the fighters you're surrounded with, I mean, you're a great fighter in your own right, we're a great amateur, but you've been in the gym for a few years now, just honing your craft, and it's almost as if Tony's been nurturing you to get ready to turn pro at the perfect moment. It must be so inspirational and motivational training alongside these guys. What do you think is the biggest benefit you have from surrounding yourself at work every day with such great fighters?
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, such great fighters in the gym. I can pick up and learn so much from all them fighters. Little things, individual things. We're all in the gym together. We do most of the sessions, all the morning sessions together. So I need to look up. That's what I need to be doing 3-4 years time down the line. If I want to be at that level, that's what I've got. Great inspiration and great people who have done it and been there and done it. I've also been in the gym with John Ryder last week. As you say, Tony was in Monaco with Joe. He's taking my sparring sessions, getting little tips from him. Great stuff, yeah.
Well, John, we were talking about him. He was obviously out in Monte Carlo, and he's talking about a big fight potentially with Jaime Munguia on the horizon. But I know he's got aspirations to stay in the sport when his fighting days do come to an end. Can you see him transitioning into being a great coach, having worked with Tony for so long?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like he had a great fight with Canelo. There's still some big fights for him. Maybe in 2-3 years' time, when he feels like he's had enough with the actual boxing fighting himself, he'd make a great coach. Yeah, he's been there, done it, top level. He's fought the best in the world. He's beat some of the best in the world as well. Do you know what I mean? He's a great fighter, and I feel like his knowledge would be great as a trainer as well.
In terms of yourself, though, Jim, this Saturday, fight number two. The debut was epic, and I know it meant so much to you in front of your own people in London. But what's Tony Sims' message to you heading into this fight and what he'd like to see from you?
I feel like I was a bit too tense, looking for the knockout too much in my first fight, even though it was a great debut overall. This time, getting on the jab, start flicking the jab, being nice and relaxed and let the boxing flow.
You believe you'll see tweets from Sonny Edwards this time praising the work of Jimmy Sainz?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah. But I respect him for saying that, do you know what I mean? You got to say it how it is. That's how I've been brought up as well, say it how it is. You've not got to, do you know what I mean? He's got nothing on me. But it's saying how it is. And this time, hopefully, he can be saying some better stuff and better praises, but yeah.
Would you rather that, Jim? Because it seems like around Tony in the gym, there's never any yes men. You're always going to get told straight, and sometimes it's a bit of tough love, but do you think ultimately that will see the best of you in the ring?
Yeah, definitely. This is a tough sport, do you know what I mean? Don't need those yes men around you. Need that tough love. And in the gym, Tony, if I'm sparring bad, he'll tell me I'm sparring bad. If I'm sparring good, he'll tell me I'm sparring good, and that's what I need.
Great stuff. Jimmy Sainz, thanks so much for your time. We're going to grab a word with the chief yes man. No, I'm joking. The chief governor, Tony Sims. Just last one on Jimmy Sainz in action around about 6 p.m. second fight on your Before the Bell section of the show this Saturday live on DAZN from Newcastle. Tony, I feel like you... What more? I was going to say, I can't get away from you, but you must be thinking, bloody hell, I can't get away from Jamie at the moment.
I don't mind being around Jamie, mate. I like Jamie.
I must say, after the fight, it got a little bit antsy in the ring, didn't it, between Joe Cordina and Edward Vasquez last week. And you got the hump with me, didn't you? That I let Edward go on for a bit too long. Is that right?
No, I never got the hump. I'll never get the hump with you, Jamie. All it was, I didn't want him to get in a slanging match because I felt Joe won the fight. There was no really... He put up a good fight, Vasquez. It's like I said to him afterwards, listen, you put up a good fight, but when you come to win abroad to win a world title, you've got to rip the world title off the champion. He's just never quite done enough to win the fight. So, you know, I can understand it, you know, his feelings and that, but he's just never done enough. And I didn't want to get Joe into a slanging match with him over nothing. That there was no reason for it, do you know what I mean? So that's why I pulled Joe away, because I didn't want that to happen.
In terms of what you'd expected from Vasquez, how did those 12 rounds compare, Tony, to everything you've gone over in the gym?
Well, I just felt on the night that when Joe was boxing at long distance, I thought he was like, he had big rounds at long distance. I just felt when he was closing in on Vasquez, I just felt like Vasquez, where he was short, he was using his height really well. He was coming down really low. That he was hard to hit inside when he was in tight. So, but the thing with Joe Caldeno, and this is what makes him exciting, he likes to get stuck in. And, you know, he'll never fight completely at length. He'll always get stuck in, like you see at a Rakimov fight. And that's the way he is, and that's what makes him exciting, and that's why people like watching him.
In the ring, I was talking about WBC world champion Oshaki Foster. I know you love that WBC belt, and you'd love to see Joe win that. When you look at Navarrete as well, perhaps a trip to Vegas is on the cards, and when you look at Lee Wood, what do you like, Tony, about the options right now?
Well, it's not really what I like. It's what Joe wants, and Joe wants to secure his family future and obviously his future in life. He's obviously 32 now, and as we know, at the lower weights, they don't go on forever at that weight. And, you know, he's been in the game a long time, and he's done everything amateur and pro level. His last three fights has been for the world title. But he wants to secure his future now, and that means financially. And whatever fight now brings the most money is the fight that he'll take next. And whether that be Navarrete, Shaki Foster, Lee Wood, whoever that may be, whoever brings the biggest payday is what Joe's going to take.
Well, plenty of options for Joe. Let's grab a word on this young man, Jimmy Sainz. I was saying to Jimmy there, ever since I've been at Matcham, he's just always been in and around the gym. And it's almost like, Tony, you've just been nurturing him and guiding him to turn pro at the perfect time. Did he do that? Did he turn him pro at the perfect time? And can you be happy with what you've seen so far since he's made that jump?
I think so, Jamie. He was only 19 when he came down to gym. It was in COVID. And I spoke to his dad, and he didn't have a base to train, and obviously the pros were still training and fighting, as you know. And he started coming down then, but he was a welterweight then. So within the first year, he like shot up to middleweight. You know, like you do see that. And I think because he grew that fast and put that amount of weight on so quick, it kind of made him a little bit like Bambi, you know. So I didn't really want him to go pro too early, like a lot of them did, even though he was a good kid. So I put him in. He like done for like three ABA championships, one after the other. And obviously this year he won the GB Tri-Nations this year. So, you know, there was nothing else more for him to do as amateur level. And I think strength-wise, he's matured. He's filled out a lot. So I think it was the right time to go now. I know last year he wanted to go, but I just feel this year at 22 is the right time for him to turn professional. And I think as a prospect, he's got a great future in front of him.
Just admitted to me there, perhaps he was a little bit tense for the debut. Perfectly understandable in front of his friends and family in London. What's your message to him, Tony, and what would you like to see from Jimmy on Saturday?
Yeah, of course, it was his professional debut. And any fighter would tell you on their debut, everyone's a bit nervous on their debut. He obviously sold like 600 tickets for the fight, so he had a lot of people coming. He was given a really good slot. He was the fight before Chief Support on a world title bill, so, you know, he obviously really wanted to impress, and he wanted to win his first fight by stoppage. But, you know, I think you'll see a calmer Jimmy Sainz on the Saturday night with more selection of punch picking, and, you know, and I think getting his jab going and boxing more. So the thing that's good about Jimmy is he's a thunderous puncher. He can punch with both hands, but he's also very smart as well. So if we can bring the smartness into the ring first against the opponent, and then the punches will just take their toll anyway.
Great stuff. Tony Sims, always a pleasure to catch up, my friend, and Jimmy Sainz as well. Tony, Jimmy, wish you the very best of luck this weekend. As we carry on now here, and here is the main man. Now, I've been joking with him all week. This is the Matchroom on the Ground podcast. Okay. Shabazz Masood is with me now. We basically roam around the room and we grab absolutely everyone we can see our eyes on. The main event. How does that feel? Even today, you know, the face-to-face, the last press conference of the day. How are you feeling, mate? A few days out.
Oh, brilliant, man. Honestly, I'm just ready to go. I'm just ready to go now, man. It's been a long time coming, man. I was telling Darren just then, I've been boxing since the age of 5 years old. I've dreamed of times like this, and I just found a fact out. The only other British Pakistani who's ever headlined a Matchroom show is Amir Khan, so I'm the next one, so that's nice as well, so alhamdulillah.
We know how much of a legend Amir is, I know that your aspirations, and from what we hear from Ben Davison and Lee Wiley in the gym, Shabazz, that the potential is there to match it. The dreams are massive for you, aren't they?
100%, man, 100%. I've got a good fight on Saturday. He's a very good opponent, I respect him. And when it fell through last time, honestly, I did meet him up in the hotel before I left, and I said, look, I'm so ill, I'm puking up. I got the team, I've pulled me out, but look, I shook his hand like a man, and I go, I am going to give you the fight in a few weeks, or whenever it gets rescheduled, just please stay in camp and we'll make it happen. And I was a man of my word, you know what I mean? I don't duck anyone, I wanted the fight. We got the fight, and it's headline, so it's good, man.
Ben did tell us, Ben Davison, that is your trainer, of course, that since that fight fell through, you've just had that little bit of spite in your work, a bit between your teeth. Why is that?
Honestly, I've just gave me that bit more hunger, man. It's just fucking... Oh, sorry about the language.
No, it's all right, no problem.
Sorry about the language, but it's given me that like bite in my teeth because I was so eager to impress last time and it didn't happen. It fell through. It just made me even more hungry, man. So I've been working away, man. Like you know, Rocky IV when he goes Russia, that kind of vibe, man. I've just been away, locked in, away from the family again. And honestly, I've been away from my family most of the year. I was supposed to go back after the Cacho Linares and spend a few weeks with my missus, but I've had to go straight back into camp, carry on, and now when I do go home, she starts work. So it's one of them. We've made sacrifices, but it's going to pay off.
Do you have to remind yourself daily, you know, when the days are hard and it's rainy, you don't want to go out and do your runs, why you are doing this, and why do you think your future self is going to thank you for these sacrifices you're making now?
It is tough. It is very tough. But at the same time, I do know what the rewards are of the sport. At the start of this career, it's the hardest sport in the world and no one really understands apart from fighters. But when you're at the top, it's all worth it. But you just got to stay grounded regardless, because I always believe it's down to God whether you make it or not. You just got to work hard and just leave it in God's hands.
Shabazz Masood, thanks so much for your time. We'll let you go and crack on now, mate. Weigh-in day tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you on the scales tomorrow afternoon. That is Shabazz Masood, who takes on Jose San Martin. That, your main event, atop a great Next Gen bill on DAZN. The Before the Bell action begins at 5:15 p.m. before we cross live to the main show at 7 p.m. from the Utilita Arena in Newcastle. All live, one place to watch it, and that is DAZN.